wineskin aboard. There's more in Lookfar than meets the eye, Sparrowhawk said, sitting down again beside him, and Arryn heard him laugh, briefly and almost silently in the dark. Arryn sat up to drink the wine. It was very good, refreshing body and spirit. He said, Where are we going now?
Westward.
Where did you go with Hare?
Into the darkness.
I never lost him.
But he was lost.
He wandered on the outer borders, in the endless barrens of delirium and nightmare. His soul piped like a bird in those dreary places, like a seagull crying far from the sea. He is no guide. He has always been lost. For all his craft in sorcery, he has never seen the way before him, seeing only himself. Arryn did not understand all of this, nor did he want to understand it now. He had been drawn a little way into that darkness of which wizards spoke, and he did not want to remember it. It was nothing to do with him. Indeed, he did not want to sleep, lest he see it again in dream and see that dark figure, a shadow holding out a pearl, whispering, Come. My lord, he said, his mind veering away rapidly to another subject. Why sleep, said Sparrowhawk with mild exasperation. I can't sleep, my lord. I wondered why you didn't free the other slaves.
I did. I left none bound on that ship.
But Egre's men had weapons. If you had bound them,
if I had bound them.
There were but six. The oarsmen were chained slaves like you.
Egre and his men may be dead by now, or chained by the others to be sold as slaves. But I left them free to fight or bargain. I am no slave-taker,
but you knew them to be evil men. Was I to join them, therefore? To let their acts rule my own? I will not make their choices for them, nor will I let them make mine for me.
Arryn was silent, pondering this. Presently the maid said, speaking softly, Do you see, Arryn? How an act is not, as young men think, like a rock that one picks up and throws, and it hits or misses, and that's the end of it. When that rock is lifted, the earth is lighter, the hand that bears it heavier. When it is thrown, the circuits of the stars respond, and where it strikes or falls, the universe is changed. On every act, the balance of the whole depends. The winds and seas, the powers of water and earth and light, all that these do, and all that the beasts and green things do, is well done and rightly done. All these act within the equilibrium. From the hurricane and the great whales sounding to the fall of a dry leaf and the gnat's flight, all they do is done within the balance of the whole. But we, insofar as we have power over the world and over one another, we must learn to do what the leaf and the whale and the wind do of their own nature. We must learn to keep the balance. Having intelligence, we must not act in ignorance. Having choice, we must not act without responsibility. Who am I? Though I have the power to do it, to punish and reward, playing with men's destinies. But then, the boy said, frowning at the stars, is the balance to be kept by doing nothing? Surely a man must act, even not knowing all the consequences of his act, if anything is to be done at all. Never fear. It is much easier for men to act than to refrain from acting. We will continue to do good and to do evil. But if there were a king over us all again, and he sought counsel of a mage as in the days of old, and I were that mage, I would say to him, My lord,
Do nothing because it is righteous or praiseworthy or noble to do so. Do nothing because it seems good to do so. Do only that which you must do, and which you cannot do in any other way. There was that in his voice which made Aaron turn to watch him as he spoke. He thought that the radiance of light was shining again from his face, seeing the hawk nose and the scarred cheek, the dark, fierce eyes. And Aaron looked at him with love, but also with fear, thinking, "He is too far above me." Yet as he gazed, he became aware at last that it was no mage light, no cold glory of wizardry that lay shadowless on every line and plane of the man's face, but light itself. Morning, the common light of day. There was a power greater than the mage's, and the years had been no kinder to Sparrowhawk than to any man. Those were lines of age, and he looked tired as the light grew ever stronger. He yawned. So gazing and wondering and pondering, Aaron fell asleep at last. But Sparrowhawk sat by him, watching the dawn come and the sun rise, even as one might study a treasure for something gone amiss in it, a jewel flawed, a child sick.